Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. We're talking to C-Dot during the break about Kansas. He's not wearing West Virginia gear today, honestly, at this point in time.
That was an entertaining back and forth between you guys.
He's not wearing West Virginia gear today. No, Carrington, anytime Kansas loses, it's his Super Bowl. I get it.
Kansas is not performing to their standard over the last year and a half.
They've certainly the last 3 weeks have been frustrating. Creighton and Missouri and now West Virginia, first conference opening loss since I was born, which is surprising, stunning. But it's still January. It's just always interesting to talk about. Also, you guys should watch the video stream. I was giving Carrington a hard time. Drew didn't catch that part. Rob clearly got a haircut. So did Carrington. I asked him if they both went and sat in the barber at the same time.
I didn't notice Rob's haircut.
It'd be like if all three of us came in with clean cuts, the exact same time.
I need a haircut, so do I.
But it's just fun. They're both clean cut. Clearly got haircuts like either this morning or yesterday or something. And I was giving them a hard time for that. But you think they went to the same barber?
Doubtful.
I don't even think they live in the same part of town.
That'd be funny.
You know? Mm-hmm. I was looking back at Kansas's thing because we were talking about, they're the Chiefs of college basketball, man.
Top text.
Oh. They're the Chiefs of college basketball in a lot of ways, where I don't hold you the same standard with other teams.
Of course.
You can't win 22 games a year and I think everything's fine at Kansas.
Yeah.
They won 23 games last year. If they won 23 games this year, that'd be their worst 2 year win total stretch under Bill Self total completely. Back to his first and second season. Yeah. I apologize. Where he won 24 and 23 games when they were in 2003 and 2004. So, and I don't know that they will. They were 9-0 until they lost those games. So they might very well still win 25, 26
They were awful
games.
Against West Virginia. I mean, there's no other
really
way.
Bad.
Hunter Dickinson is very frustrating to watch. I'll be kind of done with him, I'll be honest.
The problem, though, Gold, is what people are going to run into now with NIL. We're paying you how much?
Yeah.
Hunter, we're paying you how much money? AJ Store, we're paying you how much money?
I used to have a philosophy. I don't know if you did. Every host is different. But when I first started doing radio, I always viewed how I would discuss collegiate players and criticism of their play way different than the guy making $100 million in the NFL.
Not anymore. They're paid.
I'm not saying to keep it, between the lines.
I'm just saying
on air, even for our job, being critical of, let's just say, Hunter Dickinson.
I think
that is way more fair game than what it would have been 10 years ago. It just is when you're making a couple million dollars through a legal process of NIL. I think you're going to have to deal with the pressure and criticism of that. I mean, that's just the name of the game. And I don't think anybody should have to apologize for being critical of collegiate players. As you said,
don't be
a moron and threaten them on DMs or something. I'm just talking about in terms of
how
we discuss.
Don't do that to professionals.
Well, don't do it to anybody. How about that? I mean,
just for starters.
Just don't do that to anybody. That'd be a great way to operate. Anyway, I'm sure as we get much closer and deeper into conference play, we'll talk about college basketball. I'll be honest, not even just because Kansas lost. I really have no interest in talking college hoops in January when the Chiefs are going through a playoff run.
I know that we're getting ready to talk some college. So I'm going to jump the gun a little bit and then we can talk about Joe Tooney. I know that I'm supposed to care or something or have this moment. Am I the only person who's look at this guy? I can't believe they're making a big deal about seventh year senior tight end finally having to quit college football. He's 30. He should have had to quit college football a decade ago.
He's my age.
He's too damn old. This is not a sentimental moment that tears me up inside my soul that he finally has to walk away from the sport he loves. That's a grown-ass man. He could have 3 kids and a job in the mines by now. He's been in college football for 15 years. I can't remember his name now. Which one? There's always a billion of them.
Well, the Miami tight end. What the heck is his name?
It'll be Alan Bowman next year when they do this. The Oklahoma State kid who just got his, like, eighth year granted or whatever the hell it
Diego
is.
Diego Pavia as well.
Vanderbilt.
But that's because the Pavia thing is because JUCO, they're saying they didn't count eligibility or something.
Right,
that's
right,
a little
exactly.
bit. That's a little bit different, but yeah.
We got grown-ass men. 30-year-old men playing college football. I'm supposed to care that they can't play it anymore?
Yeah.
What am I watching? It's crazy. That has nothing to do with the college football playoff. We can talk about that for a minute since we're on college.
Yeah, let's do it. It's been up and down, right? Like, fair to say. I mean,
there's really been one to two good games. One was great.
Oh, Texas-Arizona State, one of the best games of the entire season. No doubt about it. Everybody thought Arizona State was toast. They come back. And then in overtime, everybody suddenly thought Texas wasn't going to win. Like, that's how you know it was a fun, competitive back-and-forth game. But then we did have Ohio State-Oregon was over 10 minutes into the second quarter. It was awful. It was a terrible football game. Ohio State just absolutely throttled them.
Yep.
Boise State, Penn State, I still think was closer than the score. They had a chance to kick a field goal when made it a one-score game. They missed it and heading into the fourth quarter. It wasn't that. Give Penn State credit, of course, as well. And now, I guess, for those that were complaining about the way it was all set up with expansion and all that, it looks like we know we have Texas, Ohio State on one matchup, and we're going to get maybe Notre Dame, Penn State, or Georgia, Penn State. What does everybody complain about? Ultimately, we're getting what I think most people would, other than the shocking upset, which that's going to happen with Oregon. Like, other than that, we're getting the four big boys, are we not? Like, we're getting four big boy schools. Why is everybody upset about that? Like, the people didn't want it to expand, but we also would have had the Arizona State-Texas game 100%. I know Arizona State got the automatic qualifier for winning the Big 12, but if it was expanded, I don't think that is Arizona State getting. They wouldn't have got a bye. I know that. Like, there's just so many different aspects to how this has played out. I don't think people have made up their mind. They keep shifting based on each game of what they actually want.
Yeah, I guess keep
out
the
of
same.
The college football playoff. You know, like, do I think that out of this first week or so, it's clear that they need to reevaluate who gets the top four spots for the bye? Yeah, I think so. They're going to have to do that with the automatic conference champions. And why are we not just going off of straight rankings? I think that will be changed.
Sure. Oregon got a raw deal. Like, the way the bracket set up, Oregon got kind of screwed. So should they look at reseeding? Maybe. But, I mean, a reseed would have still had them facing Ohio State. So how do you fix that, right, Gold? Let's just say you reseeded after the first round. They still would have faced Ohio State. Ohio State was the 8th seed. Now, this goes back to my original theory, which is I still think you should just be allowed to choose your opponent. I think
they won't ever do that. It's a fun thing to do. But
I think you should be allowed to choose between Penn State and not the 1-4. Yeah. You should be allowed to choose between Notre Dame, Penn State, Boise State, and Texas. And if you're Oregon, you should get your choice of which team to play, because there's no way to make an even bracket when there's 12 teams. I guess the one thing I do not understand here is these next four games. Let's just say whoever wins the Georgia-Notre Dame game today. Let's call it Notre Dame since Georgia's got a backup quarterback in. That'd be four of the biggest names in college football. A normal thing. The normal thing's going to happen. There's always about five teams who can win it in the college football playoff, and those four teams will be remaining when the thing all shakes out. Why is it that there's like amnesia with sports fans? Maybe it's because they're not watching the sport the rest of the time. Why is it that there's amnesia come college football playoff time, that this is a close sport? Have you been lying to yourself this whole time? Drew, you're a huge college football fan. You do a college football podcast. If the line is 17 on Saturday for a college football game, that is not a big spread. That's a pretty standard spread between two teams in the same conference of the Big 12. It's not a sport built on close football games. So why are we surprised if they're blowouts now? I've seen a million blowouts.
Because you have a lot of casual fans that are just watching during college football playoff. That's why everything's magnified. Yeah. It's standalone games, and that's probably the real answer for it. I get what you're saying. I mean, out of a college football Saturday, when there's, let's say, eight quote unquote marquee featured games on a random week in September, there's probably out of those eight, there's one or two that are actually really good games.
Bound to be really good, yeah.
You know, that's just the way
but
it works.
But the rest stink. It's like a law of averages. Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
And the expansion is, like, I guess my pushback would just be for those that are complaining about it. When they had only four, we just had this whole thing the last 7-8 years talking about how those weren't competitive semifinal games or whatever. Yeah. Now they're not competitive necessarily in the first round, and everybody's all been out of shape. That's the way this whole thing works. There's some tweaks, though, I think, and I don't know what ideas you have, Drew, but, like, I think the two things that they can fix the quickest and make a lot of sense this offseason will be revisiting how they're just seated, right? Would we just go off of straight rankings and let's just roll with that? And then do they potentially change something with the sites where they're played? I think that one is going to be a conversation that doesn't happen. Like, I don't believe they're going to take away the set. Like, the quarterfinals aren't going to suddenly be on home venue sites. I just don't believe so, because Fiesta Bowl and Sugar Bowl like having it.
Sure.
I will say one thing, and then, Drew, I'm happy to hear what you've got for it, is college football. We talk about this, Gold. You talk about this with, like, the MLB award season. You got to tighten this up. It can't be 40 days between every game in the college football playoff. It's crazy. Between the last game of the regular season, Gold, if you're not in the conference title game, between the time off of the teams on the bye, the time off between the semifinal and the final game, like
the amount of games,
like, that you're playing. You might play two games in 60 days if you're a college football playoff team. I would solve that right away. Can you tighten up this schedule so that these teams aren't just sitting on their ass?
So that was one of the things I think that you have to look at changing, because in regards to the bye, like, I know that Oregon obviously had the bye. And Daniel Lanning was asked about it. He said, I don't think it had an effect on us. I thought we were well prepared. But for all the teams that had byes, there were 24 days or 23 days between those games. That's 3 weeks. It's not just two, the traditional two. Like, for the Chiefs, they're going to have 2 weeks off. It's not three. That's a long time to be off. And yes, you get to be healthy and all those things, but you're also not hosting a game on campus. It's neutral site. Not that the odds are stacked against you because you're the higher seed for a reason, but in a way, they kind of are that. Regarding the seeding, I think, to Cody's point, I think Ohio State would end up playing Oregon, but it might not be in the first round because they were the eight this year. But if you were to, the criteria would still be the same, I think, of group of five qualifies, conference champions are automatically in, but from there, get the 12 and then re-rank them. So Arizona State would not be four. All whatsoever, but and Ohio State would be higher, and you still might get that Oregon Ohio State matchup, but there's a way where you can balance it out to be properly seeded. I still think the 12 is great. Like, I love college football and it's wonderful,
yeah,
but
I'm fine with 12 teams.
I think eight made more sense to expand first and then see where you go from there, because we have the best eight teams, quote unquote, in the quarterfinals anyways. Like, we, not that we didn't need SMU or didn't need Indiana or any of them, but we have the top
eight
seeds
anyway. Nobody was ever trying to say that Indiana was on the same level as Ohio State.
Right.
In fact, we saw 100%. Them play head-to-head. That's what's been so confusing about the narrative. Like, Indiana deserves still to be in the college football playoff.
For 12 teams,
but,
yes.
You know,
they probably won't win, but one year they will.
And they got embarrassed in that. It doesn't mean that, certainly with what we've seen in the other bowl games, you know, Alabama, like, if we're going to do that, then I guess Alabama should not even have been in the conversation because they got their ass kicked by Michigan. You know, like,
and
all
South Carolina
this,
lost
South Carolina.
Illinois.
Yeah, like... That's what's funny about this whole thing.
Here's the argument against reseeding. And I guess the question, do you want that across all sports?
No, I don't want that in the NFL either.
So then why in college football?
Yeah.
It's
like, why should, but why? But like, if in the NFL, if you don't want the Vikings to be the two seed,
because the sport
don't.
Is built the on the rankings
is,
anyways.
I was going to say that. And I think the other argument would just be the schedule unbalanced nature of it. Right. Versus the NFL. Like,
but sometimes the NFL, you get an easier schedule. Sometimes you get a harder path in the playoffs. Like,
but you can,
that just happens sometimes.
There's not as
you
much
know?
Disparity. Like, to your point though, Cody, I think there's more disparity in terms of good team, bad team in college. Yeah. Then in the NFL, where your schedule might be weaker, but you still might go 3-9 in college, or still might go 9-3 in college. Missouri, perfect example. They went, 10-3? They went 9-3, had an easier schedule. They didn't get that benefit of the doubt, where they weren't even in the conversation compared to some of the other 9-3 teams that were there.
I'm just saying, if you want reasoning in college, I don't know why you wouldn't think that, like, the three teams in the AFC North should be seeds 2-3-4, 1-2-3.
I think it's a good question, because, I mean, if we were to take the best teams in the NFL,
one of those teams is going to have to travel to Tampa
Bay.
And
you were to see them. I don't know if you put, do you put Houston in the playoffs? You certainly don't put Tampa Bay. Do you put Tampa in the playoffs? If you were to go with
a seed.
If you were to seed them differently, I think the NFL would, obviously, we look at that and think, absolutely not, because it'd be crazy.
Yeah, I'm not as big of a fan of reseeding. I just think the seeding to begin with needs to
be
different.
How you choose the seed, sure.
And who gets the four byes, if we're going to keep that. That, to me, is what needs to be looked at. I don't think we need to, like, reseed after each round, but I do think there has to be probably more of a conversation about, like, Boise State was technically the three in the bracket, but they were not ranked third in the country.
I think
so how do they, that's what we need to look at.
I think Chip Kelly made the perfect example of, hey, the Horizon League gets a bid in the NCAA tournament, but they're never a top 10 seed in the tournament. Like, Arizona State, great season, great team. Boise State, great season, great team.
Yeah.
But if you were to, Ohio State is a better team than those two. You could argue that Penn State better than those two. So I think that's how it would look a little bit different.
The danger is that we know the SEC and Big Ten have already been trying to push that, you know, in this 12-team field, that they guaranteed to each get, you know, two or three teams apiece. And then so the danger of starting it then, oh, we're going to guarantee you three teams each conference, Big Ten, SEC, so six of the 12 spots are you guys anyway. And then we're also going to make it to where only you two, only those two conferences can be the top six teams. That's what would suck. Like, we're not far off from that happening, where they're going to say, we get three bids each, Big Ten and SEC. Oh, and in order to be a top four seed and get a bye, it has to be from our conference. But we're not far off from that, and that's going to suck if that is actually where we're
the
going.
The overreaction that existed in this is the problem, though. If you do it game by game, then it's all a lie. Like, see, this is why more SEC teams should be in. Well, then the game Texas, right, and Arizona State taught me that two lost teams in the SEC are the same as two lost teams in the Big 12, right? I can make jump to conclusions.
That's
on
what everybody's been doing, and that's what
it's the hypothetical.
And that's become
crap.
That's kind of the poking fun at almost on social media, though. It's like, because everybody, it all stems from when Indiana got blown out to open up this college football playoff. Everybody's like, see, here it is. The SEC should have been
SMU,
in. So now, anytime an SEC team has faltered, it's been fun to just basically shove it back.
There has been no coach that's been more proactive. Lane Kiffin was tweeting, as in wanting Penn State to win. Ole Miss plays Duke, and actually, they play tonight. If Ole Miss loses to Duke,
what bowl game is that?
I don't know.
See, this is weird to have bowl games now that we're already about to. And I know the Sugar Bowl, we all know, was supposed to be last night. Unfortunately, terrible events in
New Orleans.
There's
three more bowl games
happening. But like having the bowl games while we already are about to have the semifinals for the national title set. I know it's stupid, though.
It's weird.
I'm playing in a meaningless bowl game when the semifinal is still not even. I think it's
very embarrassing for the conference when you have an active head coach rooting on power conference opponents because they want themselves to look good. Or if Ole Miss loses tonight, Twitter's going to shut down because everybody is going to be going at Lane Kiffin.
I don't know if I'm watching that.
I don't think many people will.
I don't know if I'm watching Ole Miss in this meaningless game.
But if you find out that Lane Kiffin, the guy that's been talking smack the entire time, loses his bowl game to an ACC team that went 9-3 and doesn't have their starting quarterback, then yeah, that's pretty embarrassing.
Gator Bowl,
that's what it is.
Someone says they dump a gator on the head. No, they do not.
That would be
ridiculous.
You have
to wrestle a live gator if you lose.
The loser has to be in a cage with a gator for a few minutes. No, they don't do that. I will say out of the bowl games, the ones that if we all agree these bowl games are kind of a joke, then at least have fun with it, which of course is what the Pop-Tart Bowl continues to do. Even the the Tony the Tiger Bowl or whatever did the Frosted Flake dump. Mayo does their thing. Mm-hmm. Like, at least just get to go all in with those. Cheez-It had a wedding. Did you see that? The Cheez-It had a wedding at the Cheez-It Bowl.
See, they get it. It's all about pageantry. Put on a little bit of a show. That's all they're asking for in these bowl games. If they're going to be meaningless, give me a reason to tune in. Because technically they don't mean anything other than a head coach and maybe a bonus.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll get to what's trending. We'll also have our random question of the day. We'll try to sneak in still this hour of the show. But I want to go back to the Chiefs because I think 2 weeks ago, it was pretty clear the path that the offensive line left tackle could have been heading on. And I was saying that I wanted to see DJ Humphries for at least a game to know if he can play. And also because I still think their best offensive line was Joe Tooney playing left guard, DJ Humphries playing left tackle. We've run out of time.
Humphries hasn't been on the field.
I was wrong. We don't need to see anyone but Joe Tooney play left tackle the rest of the season. He's not a long-term solution. This is not me saying that, oh, Joe Tooney, left tackle, 2025. No. Joe Tooney right now, because DJ Humphries, he's going to play in one game maybe on Sunday. He played the Chargers game, couldn't finish it. He hasn't even made it through a full game yet. I got to see him make it through a full game and how he performs before I can just throw him out there for an AFC divisional round playoff game. If I would have had him for the Steelers game and he held up, I'd be saying the complete opposite. I haven't seen him play since the Chargers game. At some point that matters. And Joe Tooney has played two football games since I made that statement. And he's been great.
Really well.
So, yeah, I think Joe Tooney at left tackle is the move for the postseason, even if that was not what the Chiefs ultimately wanted.
Yeah, I know where they spent their money and made their moves, and their plan was Humphries. And Andy Heck spoke today to the media, the Chiefs' offensive line coach.
Okay.
It said that they don't need to see Humphries in a game at all in order to make a determination on left tackle.
I mean, come on. I know they're the coach, and I don't know anything about the offensive line fundamentals.
I hope
but come on now. Like, that's
I'll
BS.
Just,
come on.
If it's not a lie, if I hope it's a lie, right? Because you should want to see him a little. If DJ Humphries can't get in this game and play, he's on the bench. He is the backup to Joe Tooney. He'll still have two more weeks to get healthy. But all you're asking, like, think about the low ask here. He still has to be able to get through three consecutive football games, but he has to play one football game this weekend, take 2 weeks off, play one more football game, the following week play 7 days later, then get 2 weeks off again. So, like, if he can't manage to get in this game, stay in the game the entire time, play and look well, I agree with you on Tooney. I would still, and I think the Chiefs want to, I'd still like to get a look. Because I still think the best version of their offensive line is Humphreys, Tooney, Creed, Trey, and Taylor.
I thought that as well, but it has to be possible though for it to be, you know what I mean?
Like, and he can't look mediocre. He has to look like pretty good.
Yeah, and I think the Chiefs deep down would like that because you get an all-pro at left guard and you get average play at left tackle. That's still better than average, above average left tackle and then okay average left guard, which is what they've got. I know Joe Tooney's statistically been playing at above average left tackle.
But generally speaking, we think average left tackle.
Average left tackle, average left guard versus average and all pro. That's better.
Yeah.
And I was with you. It's just, I don't know how we can say that anymore, man. Like, you do, I understand Andy Heck just said, well, we don't have to see him play. I don't know how you can say that.
Man,
but,
people lie to the podium sometimes.
I don't know how you can possibly feel good about an AFC divisional round game if DJ Humphreys doesn't even play on Sunday. How the hell would I throw him out there for a divisional round playoff game, playing one game, not even a full game with Patrick Mahomes, and I think I'm good to go at left tackle?
I'm trying to think about
crazy.
Like, the possible teams they would face are a much healthier. TJ Watt was coming off of just like 8 days off an injury in his first game against Kansas City. So a healthy TJ Watt this time. Will Anderson, who Tooney did a really nice job.
Or if the Chargers are the sixth seed and they beat the Ravens, Joey Bosa.
Yeah. So, I mean, good pass rushers, right? I mean, challenging pass rushers. And he just didn't need to be on the field. He's got to be on the field for me. I would still entertain him taking the job and making that work. But I am not in the camp that is, he doesn't need to see the field, we'll just make this work situation. It's the opposite of that. He has got to be on the field. And the problem is now, Joe Tooney, this is actually not a problem, it's a good thing. Joe Tooney has made it so before, if DJ Humphreys looked like he could survive, he was my starting left tackle. Like, I was good. They signed him, and if he had just looked like not a turnstile, I would have been fine with DJ Humphreys being the starting left tackle for this team. Now, because Joe Tooney's looked pretty good, can't just be like a not liability. You got to look good at the job. Like, I need you to look like, you know, I need Nick Bonito to look like he's frustrated getting to the quarterback against you.
Yep.
Like, that's all. I am a little worried. There's one little side note I'm worried about this game on Sunday, and that's that Nick Bonito and the sack record might be a play. Because if they don't start any of these guys, and it's just like Kingsley and Wanye, and Benito's trying to go to the playoffs, I mean, he might get 7 sacks in this game. You remember how big of a force he was in the first one?
No, he's a Pro Bowler. He's very, very good. Yeah, I mean, the Broncos are going to be plenty motivated. They're trying to guarantee themselves a playoff spot without needing any help, and we know they can just do that by winning. Someone else on the text line, I've seen it a few times today, we might as well talk about it. Someone said, money-wise, Tooney's the cheaper way to go at left tackle. They can find a left guard easier than left tackle. I don't believe Tooney is a long-term option at left tackle. Based on what we just got done saying with the they signed DJ Humphreys for $4 million in the middle of the season.
He's also 32.
He's not a long-term option. He'll be 33 years old next year on the final year of his $26 million cap hit that he has a year from now. That's not a long-term man. 33-year-old left tackle for 18-game season or 17-game, 18-week schedule next year is not realistic. It still doesn't provide you a long-term option. Now, you're right. They don't have a long-term option. I agree with you. In the building currently, it appears. Joe Tooney right now is their best option for the rest of this season. There still is a reason why he was a left tackle his entire career. I know he played left tackle in college, or tackle in college. But there's a reason for it. There's a reason why they went out and signed DJ Humphreys instead of saying, oh, you know what? We can save $4 million. We'll just have Joe Tooney move over. There's a reason they did these things, because they deep down still think that there are better options long-term at the position, or that they need a better option long-term. But for this playoff run, it's pretty evident Joe Tooney is, to me, the best option right now.
Like, again, they know it's not a long-term option for the things you mentioned. Think about how hard they tried to not play Joe Tooney at left tackle. I'm not saying it's not working, but they drafted Kingsley, started Wanye, brought in DJ. I mean, they tried.
Cody, you can go even further back than that.
Tried.
Cody, you can go further back than that. They signed Joe Tooney in 2021 from the Patriots. Gave them, at the time, everybody thought was too much money. It's turned out to be a great deal. Five years, $80 million. But at the time, everybody's like, what? they, during that same stretch, they traded for Orlando Brown Jr. and they did the draft picks you're talking about. If it was like, oh, he's going to be their left tackle, they had 4 years to do it.
And 1,000 opportunities. And they just, they paid for Juwan. They were talking about him at left tackle before they were, you know, so like, part of it is just like,
I get it. I mean, that person's not alone. I've seen
actions
that a lot.
Are louder than words.
Yeah, I get the text. I mean, it's other people have said that as well, and I think it's an interesting conversation. I just think, yeah, the Chiefs have had 4 years. If they thought they can convert him to a full-time left tackle, they could have done it when he was 29 years old. They're not going to do it now when he's 33 after this season. That's just not happening.
It's a credit to him in a lot of ways because Joe Tooney has zero of the, I'm not kidding, zero of the physical characteristics that Andy Reid and Andy Heck like in a left tackle. None of them. His arms are too short. He's not, like, you know, his cone drill's probably too slow. But it's not long enough. He doesn't weigh as much as they want a left tackle. Like, he doesn't have
undersized left tackle.
He doesn't have many of the physical characteristics.
But Danon Hughes brought up one thing that he has.
But he's great.
Danon Hughes, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, he kind of he's willing to fight. And that's a clear thing. You know, he's willing to go out there and fight, whereas we've seen Kingsley and Wanye, and it's one thing to have the technique down, but you also, even if you get beat, you have to be willing to go out and fight. And Joe Tooney is just a foot, you know, sounds cliche, he's just a football player. He's going to go out there and he's going to make sure he does his job, whether it's by technique or not technique. He's going to get the job done. That's why he's been successful. Even if he's not doing everything perfectly sound, he's able to win the match because he's just all about, like, true football, hard-nosed
He'll
football
try harder
player,
than
right? Yeah, I mean, that's what he's going to do.
That's an underrated skill a lot of times in any industry, honestly, is like, I will just outwork you.
Yeah, someone says, are we assuming Kingsley is a bust? No chance of fixing issues. Well, he's just not a factor for this year, obviously. So next offseason, they can't go into next season with him starting left tackle. I think best case scenario is in 2 years from today, we're talking about him, you know, 2 years from today would be going into a season in which he, by year three in the league, then he's actually playing at right tackle or left tackle or something like that. That'd be best case scenario.
You got to be thinking long term answer at left tackle or stopgap at left tackle next year. What if they said Joe Tooney was going to start at left tackle for one more year while they worked on tackle because they couldn't get one in the draft? Would you listen to that?
That would mean the failure in multiple areas.
Sure, but I'm just saying that's not a plan A. That's not plan. Like you're saying.
No, but like, that can't be plan A heading into the offseason either. That's if plan A, B, and C failed. You weren't able to draft one. You weren't able to go trade for one using a draft pick. You weren't able to sign one. That's plan C.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just asking. I mean,
No, that's just what I think. I don't know. Like, as we just got done saying, if they really thought Joe Tooney was a long-term option to left tackle, he was 29 years old when they signed him. They could have said, hey, by the way, we want to move you to left tackle. They didn't do that.
They had their chances.
They went in and traded for Orlando Brown Jr. They've drafted Kingsley. They've drafted Wanye Morris.
They've tried to start eight different
guys. They tried DJ Humphreys.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And they're still considering, it sounds like, DJ Humphreys. I mean,
and Kingsley could also just be a guard for this team. Who's to say he's not the Joe Tooney replacement at left guard?
Or he can be Trey Smith, because Trey Smith's been unbelievable. And that dude is going to get paid in the offseason, and good on him. He's been awesome. I don't think they're going to pay him.
Guard money was like $5 million for $80 million, I think, in a couple spots.
More than that in a lot of places.
Unless you think next year is it for Tooney, and so they'll say, hey, we'll do a new deal for Trey Smith, and we'll have the money on the back end, and we won't pay Trey much next year, but then he'll become our highest paid guard. Yeah. Tooney will be gone in 2 years anyway.
They already paid our guy, Creed.
That'd be the only scenario I think Trey Smith's here long term is new contract next year, backloaded. That way they can wait till Tooney's money falls off. That's the only way I could see it coming out.
Also, congrats to Creed, who will be the Pro Bowl starter.
He won't be able to play.
But he gets to be listed as the Pro Bowl
starter. He'll be getting set for a Super Bowl. You know, that's what happens around these parts. Anyway, up next, we'll get to what's trending, plus the random question of the day.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one on what's trending is we do have another college football playoff quarterfinal coming up this afternoon. Of course, this one was postponed due to the awful events in New Orleans yesterday. So the Sugar Bowl will be at 3 o'clock, less than 2 hours from now. It'll be Georgia and Notre Dame from their Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Georgia, 1.5-point underdogs. Yes, they'll have their backup quarterback starting. The winner of this game will take on Penn State less than a week from now, I guess, because of the way the scheduling has worked out, or about a week from now, because of the way the scheduling is working out with the game being postponed. Otherwise, we know we get Texas-Ohio State, which is going to be incredible in a college football playoff in Arlington next week. There'll be a stretch of 5 days in a row where we have five straight days of either college football playoffs or NFL playoffs. So start like wild card weekend, we'll have college football playoffs and wild, like, leading in five straight days.
It'll be fun. Good
love
reason
it.
To. I mean, yeah.
Love it.
Jay Binkley's just like dreaming. Ah. Oh. What
blowing
a moment.
Up. I'm sure he's been blowing up your phone as well, Drew, too. Just to,
oh, yeah.
About it. Yes, he's been enjoying it.
I brought Binkley some food the other day.
I saw that, man.
He mentioned
the cheese dip. You guys
he loves that cheese dip.
Yeah.
Binkley loves it. So I had to make it for Binkley because he loves it.
Yeah.
There was no choice in not
he sent me
that.
A text when we were talking about the music. He goes, yeah, Cody brought me some cheese dip. I've been tearing
I
it
brought
up.
Him other things, too.
I've been going into it.
Because we talked about this. I was going to make the brisket, and instead, the people at the Copper Pig made it.
Yep.
It was a hit first off.
Oh,
the
I'm sure.
Family.
I'm sure.
Everyone was thrilled with this. And a couple were like, did you make this? I'm like, man, I wish. I could have just probably tried to take credit.
They wouldn't have believed you.
No one was ever going to believe that I made it. So thank you to the Copper Pig for making the brisket. It was fantastic.
There you go.
On that end. But I brought him some leftover brisket, some leftover turkey. I made him a cheese dip, and then I brought him some fudge. Seems like
so
he was all set.
Cody, please don't poison Bink with your food.
I didn't make the brisket.
That's
I
how
just
we know
that.
It's good. There's no Chipino. No Chipino involved.
Somebody else cooked it. Next up on Watch Trending 5, Chiefs were named to the 2025 Pro Bowl. Creed Humphrey the starter, Chris Jones a starter, Joe Tooney a starter, Travis Kelce and Trey Smith listed as backups, but in the game, they had 8 other people listed on the reserve list. Obviously, the only snub the Chiefs can make an argument for is Trent McDuffie. I don't think you can actually make an argument for Patrick Mahomes as a snub.
No.
The 3 quarterbacks who were in the Pro Bowl have put up better numbers than Patrick Mahomes this year, and it's a Pro Bowl, though. So.
And 2 of them are basically the finalists for MVP. I'm talking about Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Yeah. So,
and Joe Burrow put up some great stats. The best thing he'll do is be the 3rd quarterback in the Pro Bowl.
I just think in Kansas City, the Pro Bowl, we care less and less about it than we, like, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, is actually something we actually, oh, that's exciting. So I truly had no clue they were announcing Pro Bowl stuff today. That was something I used to know. Like, oh, tomorrow they're going to. No, we just don't care about it.
We didn't like having it in the rundown for tomorrow. Like, hey, they're going to announce the Pro Bowl.
No.
But good for Joe Tooney. He deserves it. Chris Jones and Creed Humphrey. Creed Humphrey the starter now that Jason Kelce is out of league.
That is true. Next on Watch Trending, just a small move from the Royals today. They announced that they signed Austin Cox to a minor league contract. That might sound familiar. He's been with the organization before, but just a little minor move for the Royals. Nothing crazy. I did see that the White Sox reportedly are signing Josh Rojas, who is a name that's been mentioned that the Royals might have had interest in, but it looks like he might be off the board as another bat that they could bring in. You and I still think another move trade-wise is happening before the start of the season.
Yeah.
But that Rojas was a name that had been former Diamondback and Mariner, I believe.
Yeah, and then there's continued rumors that Taylor Ward is even more available. I don't know why that name keeps popping up.
Well, JJ joined available. Us and said, frankly, they're waiting for the price to go down on some guys, whether that means trade or free agent.
I'll be honest. Some of the things I had heard is that there's some other organizations, including the Angels, being very guilty of this. Their asking prices are ludicrous.
Well, of course. So wait them out.
This time of season, you can ask ludicrous prices and then just see where things go. Lastly on What's Trending Today marks the 5th anniversary of the show Cody and
Cody.
That's right. You all did it. I'd like to say we did it. I mean, I like to think that we did something that made you want to listen. But in the end, you have to listen in order for this show to continue.
Yeah.
So a thank you from me and Alex. And he can say his own personal thoughts. But 5 years we have now made it on this show, which is, I think, an impressive run for any sports radio show, certainly. But 5 years that this show has existed. We started January 2nd, the year of 2020.
Yeah.
We went to the Super Bowl that year. COVID happened that year. We've been to 3 Super Bowls together as a show, you and I. It's been a great run. We've had a lot of fun moments.
Yeah, looking forward to another 5 years. We appreciate, as you said, it couldn't have happened without support from the audience and listeners and everything. And also, you know, we've had a couple different producers along the way. So Drew is a big part of this as well. Nick, Serta, all of them been part of this just as much as we have as well, building out the show. So we have a ton of fun. I mean, we always joke that, like, real job. Like, this isn't a real job. We're talking about sports. We're joking around. We give each other, you know what, a lot on the show as well, and it's a good time. It really is, and we appreciate you guys' support. We're trying to get some new T-shirts for the show.
Or 2025 goal. That and a mascot costume.
Yeah.
Either's fine.
All right. Earlier today, Vinny Pasquantino joined us, our NFL insider. We talked to him about New Year's festivities and, of course, got his thoughts on the upcoming playoff weekend potential matchups that this weekend, I should say, could set up.
He's had songs written about him without asking for it.
Pasquantino, I want it. Now it's time for Pasquantino.
Mythological creatures and sandwiches have been named after him.
Beefy and Italian.
And he also thought the Devontae Adams trade was going to save the Jets.
them Jets.
Welcome back to the show, our Vin FL Insider, Vinny Pasquantino.
That's right. It is that time of the show, although a little bit later this week with the holiday, Happy New Year and everything for our Vin FL Insider, Vinny Pasquantino, to join us. I don't know about you, Cody. When I watch the New Year's Eve stuff, like, I have no interest in going to Times Square and freezing my ass off and like packed like sardines. They're wearing Depends adult diapers because they can't go to the restroom and all that. That's not the New Year's Eve celebration I want. But I also see every year Nashville. Nash Vegas looks pretty impressive, and that's where Vinny Pasquantino resides. So I don't know. Have you experienced? I know you've experienced Nashville, but a New Year's Eve like going out truly in Nashville.
My parents went this weekend.
Really?
Not this weekend. I guess it was literally the middle of the week. But yeah, my parents went. I was on my couch watching movies. I watched The Fantastic Beasts, which I have a question first. Because I heard the ads before I came on. What is Harry Potter the musical? How does that work? Do they just sing the story?
Yeah, there's probably some original songs and score involved or something. Yeah.
Huh. That's cool.
I mean, I'm guessing that's what it is. I don't want to say for sure.
Well, good for them. Everybody go see it. If my radio station supports Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone music, you should go see it. So, I put my stamp on that.
You saw Fantastic Beasts. Are you a Harry Potter guy?
Yeah, I like Harry Potter. Fantastic Beasts was pretty good. There were some what felt to be plot holes, but it's okay. I'm not that much of a cynical person that I just destroy movies based off their plot holes. So I watched the movie Carry On last night. It's on Netflix.
Yeah. Good. I've seen that as well. It's not bad.
I liked it.
Bateman's great as that, like that character, and I loved him from Ozark too. So that's the other prize.
Jason Bateman could be my favorite actor. He's in the running.
Yeah,
he's definitely in the running. So he's good.
I promised my daughter tonight I'd watch Wicked, Vinny. Have you seen it yet?
No, but my wife has, and she liked it. Other than I guess the ending is a little cliffhanger-y for her.
I know, but there's supposed to be a second one. They love doing that if there's going to be another movie.
Yeah. Well, it's like the Pirates of the Caribbean movie where it ends when they're like in the middle of a fight. Yeah. It just happens. You know, that's just movies.
Something I just think at 2 hours and 45 minutes, you could give me a little conclusion for Wicked, but that's
No. That's why you guys should watch sports, is because there's always a conclusion at the end of every game unless it's football and they tie or soccer and they tie. Other than that, you got to win or lose.
That's true. That's a really good point.
Where are you on movie length, though? Because Cody and I have gone back and forth on this. Cody thinks any movie over 2.5 hours is too much.
Sorry, my agent just interrupted this phone call. Yes, 1 o'clock.
Did you just sign an extension or something?
So today's the day, huh? An extension is happening. No, that's exciting.
No. No, we planned a lunch. But movie times, okay. Hour and a half is too short. 2:45 is too long. I want, like, hour 50 to 2:20. That's the perfect length for me. I'd prefer on the underside of 2 hours, but if it goes a little over, I'm cool with it.
All right, let's talk about a little NFL since you are an NFL
insider. What you guys want to talk about?
NFL, huh? Honestly, we were hoping you had some amazing New Year's Eve story to tell us, like from a teammate or something like that, but I guess we don't have that today.
No, none. I've never partied in my life.
Well, don't let James or Jack or whatever his name was know.
Yeah. Ever since that guy said that to me, I haven't touched a beer, dude. I've just been grinding in the gym. I did have somebody that listens to this show, though, DM me shortly after I said that, and he had said something to me about something, and he responded, I was like, I was just kidding, man.
Oh, wow. He's like, hey, I went on the record. I was just joking.
And it was whoever that guy is, if you're listening, I saw that. It was not you that I was complaining about.
Okay. There you go. At least that guy knows he's in the clear. Your team was eliminated a few weeks ago, but Aaron Rodgers made it seem clear this very well could be his last game in the NFL. Do you think it will be?
I don't know. Who knows? I don't even have a hot take on it because I just don't even know.
Like, he says he's not going to do the darkness retreat.
That's good. He's going to stay in the light this season. So that's good. But I think it all depends on what they do at GM and head coach and whatever they do with that, because they got to want him back one, but there's some cap stuff. There's some money issues there. Not necessarily issues, but he can't just leave.
Right.
Like, that's not up to him, even though it sounds like he thinks it is, but it's not completely up to him. Like, if he wants to play for somebody else, they don't just have to cut him. So I would imagine that they would, but they don't have to.
The name that came up here, Vinny, like a week or so ago, because there was somebody put out some like offshore odds on where Garrett Wilson's next team could be if he got traded, because there's been rumblings there about Garrett Wilson maybe wanting out, maybe not wanting out. I know you don't want to hear me saying that because Garrett Wilson's a hell of a football player. Do you think he's on the Jets next year?
So I have multiple opinions on this. One as an athlete myself, and one as a fan, where it's like, as a fan, I would prefer you not be public about wanting out, because I just want to, I want you to be like hell bent on always wanting to win games for this team, and you're under contract. As a player, like, hey man, you guys have done some crazy things. If you're the Jets and you're kind of, you got to pay these young guys coming up soon. And if you're doing a full rebuild, well, it makes sense to trade some guys. Garrett Wilson is a unbelievable football player, and if he was on your team, you'd be very happy to watch him. Seems like a great dude too, like the way he gives his interviews. I don't even remember what the question was. I just wanted to tell you how good he was.
Do you think he's going to still be on the Jets next year?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think he's still on the Jets. I think everything that comes out publicly for the most part is strategy, except for from Rodgers' camp, because he just says things. But I think in most guys' camps, everything that comes out is strategic. So I'm sure they're just doing that to see if they'll pay him a year early.
We'll get your power rankings here in just a minute. I know last week you had said, depending on the result of the Vikings game, that would make a determination between them and the Packers. But the biggest game in the NFL this weekend is obvious. It's Vikings-Lions. Mm-hmm. It's for the number one overall seed. Who do you actually like in that matchup? Who do you think is going to win it?
Well, first off, how does Detroit keep winning with, like, they've got three starters playing on defense, and that's not to talk down to any player, but, like, to lose that many starters is insane. I mean, it's like you talk about the Chiefs, right? They lose receiver one, receiver two, running back one, like all these guys, and they just keep winning. And it's just like, all right, I guess it's just what they do. But it's the same thing for the Lions. Like, they just keep winning. They just somehow are scoring more points. Even though they keep giving up more points, they are scoring more than the other team. So they're doing it.
So I guess knowing that, do you still take the Vikings serious as a actual Super Bowl threat?
Yeah, I think you have to. They're 14-2. Like, if that's not a Super Bowl threat, then I don't know who is. And I get that it'll be pointed, a lot of it's pointed at Darnold being like, you know, when you just see so much like not great football, it's hard to get that out of your head.
Yeah.
But at 14-2, like, they win games. Now, it sucks for Sam, because let's say he has a bad playoff game, like, all of this positive talk about him is just going to flip on its head.
Right.
Which sucks for him, but he's done a great job this year. And yeah, definitely Super Bowl threats.
All right, let's get your power rankings. We do this each and every week. Vinny Pasquantino's top five in the NFL.
Okay, there's a caveat to this one, though. So one is the Chiefs. Two is either the Vikings or the Lions, whoever wins.
Okay.
Whoever loses will be at five. And then the Eagles are three and the Bills are four.
So they go all the way down to five with if the Vikings were to lose or Lions were to lose. Okay.
Yeah, big time football teams win big time football games. That's fair. So, yeah,
it is. We were saying, just I'm sure everybody's had the same thought looking at Sunday's game, though, that the Lions all year, I would say at least 80-90% of the year, but he said they were the best team in football and all this, and they're going to end up with, let's say, 14 wins and a loss, and they will be on the road throughout the entire postseason after all that, and their fans won't get a home playoff game.
And if they were to have that road playoff game, it's likely going to be against the Buccaneers or the Rams, who they've lost, or right. They beat the Rams, right, but went to overtime, but then lost to the Bucs.
Yeah.
So, like, you never want to worry about who you're playing, but I'd much rather be in the comfortable confines of Ford Field than playing in Tampa or at SoFi Stadium.
How good is this Bills team versus the other ones? You get to see them twice a year as a Jets fan, so you get a good sense of, like, how good of a Bills team it is.
I think they're probably pretty similar to the Lions in the fact that, like, if they're going to win, they just got to simply, like, obviously, but they have to simply outscore you. Like, they are going to be high-scoring games. Yeah, you guys can warm up. I'll be in there in a second. No, five minutes probably. We hit a 10:30, so, you know, I'm a little late, but that's fine. That's fine. We just did some defense stuff, take some time, take the call. But that game this week against the Jets was insane because the Jets have gone like seven or eight quarters, like, or had gone without punting, but they had no points because they get within the 20, they go for it and they don't get it. Like, the Jets were moving the ball. They just couldn't score, which I don't blame on the Bills. I blame on the Jets. That's why the Bills are four for me. But they've got Josh Allen, and they're very good offensively. So they're still a scary team. They're just not that scary in my – like, I think if they play the Ravens, I think the Ravens will smoke them. And they're going to have to play the Ravens most likely.
The people you're working out with, do they know you're doing a radio interview in Kansas City?
They do, yes. Just because we've been doing it for years. So I've been late to hitting on Tuesdays for years. That was Brandon Lau from Tampa Bay.
Oh, okay.
He just interrupted that conversation. So the disrespect.
You know, you just can't trust these other guys in the league sometimes, Vinny. They don't understand the grind.
They don't understand.
Real quick, last one for you. Do you watch much of the college football playoff? I know that's been the story the last 24 hours or so. We know there's a game still later on today as well.
Which, that's horrible. First off,
sure.
What happened in Louisiana, like, that really sucks. But yes, I have been watching, mostly because I've had some scratch on it, but,
there we go.
That's, and I've been doing pretty good. There's a lot of points that are scored in college football.
Turns out there's
my hint for the day.
I got you. Yeah. Like, so are you on the full on Ohio State bandwagon now? Cause I feel like everybody publicly is like, oh, this team's unstoppable now.
I mean, if they throw the ball, I am, but we've seen them not throw the ball and lose before. So who knows if they're going to get like, I've got some friends that went to Michigan, and I'm just texting them like, what the heck?
Yeah, how do they win?
And it's like Ohio State gets so scared. Like, they need to start acting more like professional athletes when they play Michigan instead of, like, you're not going to war, guys. You're not going to war. You're playing a football game against Michigan. You're going to be okay after the fact. Like, just go play your game. Why are you letting it affect you so much? It's very strange. Like, the way that rivalry goes, to me, it always favors the underdog because both teams get so excited for it. It's like, play like the favorite. Like, don't play like an underdog. Just play like the favorite. You're better than them. Go beat them. It's very strange to me. But, yeah, I think Ohio State's got the – I mean, they for sure got the talent to win it all. Just throw the ball to Jeremiah Smith every single
he's
play.
He's unbelievable. I mean, truly, I know who was Dan Lanning after the game said it as well. Just he would be a top five pick in the NFL draft this year if he could.
Yeah,
he obviously can't.
I think Dan Lanning's a really good coach. Oregon just ran into – like, Oregon got kind of screwed with this bracket in my mind. But, you know, that's Oregon wishes that they played Ohio State in the Big Ten championship. That is for sure in my mind, because that game wouldn't have mattered other than for the one seed.
Great news, Vinny. We know you have to hit and to meet up with your agent. And the guy who said he DM'd you said, hey, shout out. That was me. Go have a few beers at lunch with your agent. He's giving you permission.
I'm not going to do that. I don't do that anymore.
All right, man. We'll let you get back to hitting and everything.
Okay. All right. I'll see you guys.
That was Vinny Pasquantino earlier today, our VFL insider. I forgot to ask him because I saw there was a video where he was back at, I don't know, maybe like old high school gym or something. Anyway, he's like still got it. Maybe it was just a high school gym. He was shooting buckets.
Hit a three.
And he hit a three. I was going to ask him two things. One, how many takes for that one to make sure? Because if you miss it, you're not posting it. So I want to know how many takes.
Did you get it in one shot?
How many takes? And then he looked, you go back and look. He looked like a little slimmer. I'm just saying. I don't know if that's accurate or not. He can tell me I'm way off. He looked a little slimmer. He was wearing like all black workout stuff. So maybe just
he looked like he was a little
slimmer. It's workout mode. Workout season.
Dry January, maybe.
Dry January as well.
I don't want to say for sure.
Thanks to Vinny for joining us on a Thursday. He'll also join us next Tuesday. He wanted to come on. We were like, hey, man, just wait till next week. He's like, no.
Honestly, in the text exchange, I told him multiple times, Tuesday's fine. He's like, I'll see you Thursday. I was like, okay, well, you know what? Mm-hmm. We'll see Vinny Tuesday as well. But we also got a chance to talk to Vinny today. So a perfect way to, we only have 2 days of work this week, you and I, but a good way to get towards the end of the week. You want to do one real quick? A random question?
Let's sneak one in.
Random question.
Late random question today for you, Gold, and for you, Drew. Follow us over on YouTube and Twitter and Twitch at 96.5 The Fan. Like, subscribe, like all those things. That way we can get more people watching the video stream with you as well. Question I have for you today comes via a wedding betting sheet that came out over the weekend.
I saw this.
And whether or not, very simple question.
Yeah.
Is this fair or foul?
Okay.
There was a wedding prop sheet released over this weekend that came from a wedding that included things. Will Taylor cry?
Mm-hmm.
Will the ring bearer or flower girl go rogue? Will there be tears during dances? Some novelty props, including like members of the bridal party to miss the ball drop.
Yeah, how long is the first
dance
or whatever.
Who smashes the cake? over under length of the first dance. Is this fair or foul? You allowed to, you love to wager.
What do you think I'm about to say? What do you think I'm about to say?
You're in, you have this.
Of course, this is fair. In fact, I feel like there might be an expectation for me to have a prop sheet list related to the wedding. Yes, this has become a little more pop. This is like the fourth or fifth story I've seen about somebody doing this. I think it has to be tied into your life. Like if you do that for a living or you cover that industry, it'd be random if Joe Schmo.
What if you were just like a big time sports better than your free time?
Maybe so. No, this is fun. It's a fun little different way to do it. Why not? As long as the key here, if you're the groom, is your bride cool with it? There might be your spouse may not be good with you doing the prop sheet at your wedding about who's going to cry and stuff. If she's good with it, I think it's another fun way. Imagine if you were at the wedding and we were at Rob's wedding and all of us are sitting there with a prop sheet. Like, is Rob going to cry? And we're all like making our own side wagers with this prop sheet. That'd be fun.
I don't want it to just be for show. If we're making a prop sheet, I want to be able to bet it. I don't know who's the house.
You got to bet with the people around you. Bet with the people sitting by you or the friends that are at the wedding.
Because this is a tough thing to make odds for. Somebody was talking about you got to really know this couple if you're giving me 3-4 to 1 on something.
Theoretically, it would be very funny if we were like in our little circle at our table at Rob's wedding. The first dance gets done and somebody's like,
We're timing it.
All of a sudden somebody's like,
Don't stop dancing. The song's ending and you lost 10 bucks.
Come on.
Everybody turns and looks
at
the table.
It's not the end of the song. They're just wrapping it up before the end of the song. Mm-hmm. Like it just said, how many speeches will there be? Over 4.5, under 4.5. There could be a real advantage in this if you know the family well.
Of course.
Like it's my just family, all supposed to be fun. How many speeches were at your sister's wedding most recently? Speeches.
Well, so mine was, I gave mine at the wedding, wedding dinner rehearsal night. So at the actual wedding.
Maid of honor.
Yeah, maid of honor and
best man.
Best man. And then the couple.
That's three?
That's it. Just three at the wedding.
There was no father-in-law?
Some of it took place the night before.
Okay. So there's only three. They would hit the under. Mm-hmm. That was even money, too, by the way.
Yeah. Someone says, weddings are for love, not greed. Sad, guys. Again, it's all for fun.
It was minus 250.
What the prop sheet is.
Minus 250 for the words, for those who don't know me during the speech.
I can understand why maybe the bride would be irritated, but I feel like...
If she clears it, you're good.
It would be one of those things where I don't think they can get too mad. It's just like really? This is what we're doing right now? Like, really? Like, I don't think it would ruin...
Well, you'd have to get them all printed up.
You're ruining the moment.
Your bride would know because you got to get those printed up. Like, you're not handing just...
That feels like a best man's job. I don't think the groom and the bride need to be involved in this at all. This feels like a best man, maid of honor.
Agreed.
Let's work out some props together situation, if I'm being honest.
Yep.
So...
The fact though that you're betting it almost like the Super Bowl. How long is the national anthem? How long is this going to actually be? You know,
man, the idea that you're all just like standing there with bated breath because Alex and I got 20 on it, and then it's like, yeah, no, they're not even done with the dance yet.
Everybody turns around, excuse me,
because you hit the over.
Yeah,
I bet on the national anthem.
Will anybody be passed out at the wedding?
Really?
You know, there's like,
yeah, I have a couple of times over the years.
Did you hit?
Yeah. Yeah, the one year we put the most on it, there was a small group of us that put like 400 on it or something kind of like stupid or ludicrous.
Oh, okay.
And you know, this works. You can't really go offshores for those a lot of times.
Yeah.
Yep. But.
Someone says they're a wedding DJ. This would be very great. The bride would be on board if she knows the groom is a sports fan. Yeah, it definitely, like, you got to be... Yeah. Betting or bettors or sports fans.
I wonder if they're obviously not able to see the odds though, because maybe they had some skin in the game and they made.
That's
the,
why they can't
don't
set
want
the
them
odds.
To see the
correct.
Odds.
They can't set the odds.
Obviously,
because otherwise, yes. I mean, they're more likely to know who's going to cry at the wedding, and they can also just know.
We'll see. Sometimes the people who cry at the wedding surprise you.
Sure. Yeah, you think that's fair.
Like you're always like you. Oh,
that's fair.
I expect you to get. Caught up in it, you know?
That's right. Hey, we're back at it tomorrow. Great to be back already on a Thursday in 2025, but tomorrow we'll have Josh Briscoe join us. He was kind enough to fill in a couple days. He'll join us in his normal slot tomorrow. Fan Club Friday, Dana Wright going to join us
in
studio.
Year.
Yeah, so that'll be fun as well. Plus, we'll get set for the rest of this weekend. Talk to you guys tomorrow.